Oh, is that really all I get? Good morning. Okay. I like a loud, rowdy bunch. I'm used to Friday nights. So last week, I think you guys got kind of loud and rowdy, didn't you, when I was talking about putting the sizzle in there and all that? Yeah, you guys were like, woo. This week, it was interesting. As I'm out in town, I got a few high fives. Thank you, they said. A few of you probably got slapped because you took the wrong method. You did not use the one that I told you to use. It's not my fault. I told you. I tried. And then I had one person tell me that in about 9 months, we're going to have a slight population increase in our church here. They said, because it was a great message, and I got a lot out of it. So, it was great. It's a
make for some happy couples.
Yeah, some happy couples. If you're not happy couples, you're not going to want to stay together, right? So, today me and Robin, we're going to dig in a little bit more. We're going to share a little bit about our marriage and some certain areas that we've grown in, some certain areas that we've seen that God has strengthened, whatever, our marriage. But we're going to talk about that some today. So as we get into this, I think you'll be blessed.
Yeah, our marriage, it's really a miracle that we're still together. For those who've heard our testimony, we have been through a lot together, and it's only by God's grace that we're still together. And when we got married, we had no idea what it meant to have a marriage where Christ was the center. I had no idea what it meant to be a godly wife. He had no idea what it meant to be a godly husband. And so we made a lot of mistakes. And since we have come to Christ, He has taught us, He is showing us, here, this is what you need to do to be a godly wife. This was what marriage, this is how I intended marriage to be. And so we are just learning and growing in our marriage. And I'm sure there's many in here that probably could give us advice on marriage, you know. But we just want to share with you guys a few simple things that has helped transform us and has helped make our marriage better.
You know, so as we start talking today, you're going to be sitting here and you're going to be like, are you listening? Are you listening? Poking the one beside you.
This message is for you now.
Yeah, this message is for you. Boy, I just wish they were here to hear this. You're here to hear this. Because you know who needs to change first in a relationship in ours? Is me. So today you're here. So today you receive what God has for you. And let's begin the change with what's sitting right there in the seat today. And that'll work a lot better because so many times we wish, you know, last week I even had somebody tell me, man, I just wish they would have been here to hear that. And I'm like, but you were here to hear that. So take what we teach and apply it to yours and see what God begin to do in there.
Yeah, it's so important. I think our first point that we want to make is that we have to let God be God. I cannot fix Him. Only God can change Him. And I've just got to let God be in my life too, and let Him make the changes that He wants to make in my life. We just want to ask you, we want to open with a couple of questions. You know, what is it like to be married to me? I mean, ask yourself that. What is it like? What kind of wife am I? What kind of husband am I? What is God speaking to me about today? You know, what are the things that He wants to change in my life so that I can be better? Because that's where change starts. Just like you said, I've got to focus on what He wants to do in my life. I think about our girls. We come home and I'm like, okay, go do your homework. And so they have to sit down and they do their homework and they're completely different. I mean, I don't know, anybody that has kids knows when you have more than one, they're usually completely different. And Emma is usually either got her homework done at school or she gets it done real quickly. Amy, on the other hand, drags her feet, takes a little while longer to do it. And when Emma gets done and gets to watch TV, Amy's like frustrated. Well, why doesn't Emma have to do her homework? What about Emma? Emma should have to do her homework as long as I have to do my homework. And I have to tell her, listen, focus on what you need to do. Don't worry about Emma. Let me take care of Emma. Let me be the mom. You focus on what you need to do. And I feel like God says the same thing to us. You know, let me be God. You focus on the changes I want to make in your life, Robin. And I'll take care of Jason. Don't worry about Jason. I've got him. You need to worry about yourself, you know?
You know, so many times the man feels like we're supposed to be the head of the house, the leader, right? Because the Bible says that our wives submit to us and we love our, like the church, love, you know, love our wives like Jesus did the church. And we got to remember that Jesus gave everything He had for the church. He served the church is what His purpose was. So in our homes, we actually need to be the ultimate servant is what it is. We need to lead by example. And like Robin said, I can't change her. I need to let God be God. I'll do my part, let God do His part. And sometimes that's hard to grasp and hard to do.
It is. I know a lot of times I go to the Lord in prayer and I say, okay, Lord, I'd really need your help here. You know, me and Jason are having differences of opinions and we know I'm right because I'm always right.
I'm not going to say anything to that.
And so seriously, sometimes I go to the Lord in prayer like that and he just smiles and he's like, okay, Robin, listen, this is what I need you to do. Will you be obedient to me? I need you to go tell him you're sorry. Or I need you to go encourage him. You focus on what I want to do in your life. And when I do that, when I make the changes that God wants to make in my life, it makes so much room for God to make the changes that he wants to make in Jason's life. Not the changes I want to make, but the changes that God wants to make in his life.
You know, the power of a praying spouse is amazing what God can do through a praying spouse. Robin has her daily time with God. What we're teaching right now at Celebrate Recovery is reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life. So see, Robin has implemented that in her life. She set aside that time. In the morning, she goes in there and sits in our bedroom and she opens her Bible. And I get home in the evenings and her Bible's still on the bed and there's a little note there. I've been having some shoulder and neck pains for 4, 5, 6 months and I look at that little handwritten piece of paper and it says, Jason's shoulder. My shoulder's 98% healed. It's done. It's a done deal because I've got a praying wife. You know, and then she prays for each kid individually. You know, and sometimes when I come home, of course, men, when you hurt your little pinky, you whine about it constantly, right? Oh, my finger's so bad. I can't do anything. Can you take care of the whole house as usual? Because I can't do anything. And we whine about it. But my wife prays for me anyway and it helps.
Prayer changes
things.
Prayer does change things. There is power in praying. And it's so important to pray for our spouse.
Absolutely.
I think that's one of the best things we can do is pray for our spouse that they have a strong relationship with the Lord. That Jason will hear God's voice when he speaks to him. You know, it's important to pray. But a lot of times when I go in prayer, the biggest change happens right here.
Yes. Yes. Because you're never wrong.
Only that one time.
Oh, I don't remember that one time, though. I don't remember it. You know, marriage it's a calling. It's a commitment. It's a union of two people where two become one. It's really tough in 2 weeks to talk about marriage because marriage, there is so much to talk about. You know, you could have set it up. We could have set it up originally with, you know, the covenant that God made in marriage is, you know, it's ordained by God and not by man. I mean, there's just, could have started right there at the beginning and went so deep into it, and there's so much about marriage that I wanted to talk about, and so much that came alive in me as I studied about marriage. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about today certain things that we're called to do in a marriage.
Yeah.
The next thing that we want to talk about is we're called to carry each other's burdens.
I want to say something real quick. I want to cut in before we get there because it's so important. So many times people are like, you know, I wish my marriage had purpose. I wish I knew what the purpose of my marriage was. I wish I knew what I was supposed to do. And the Bible tells us, you know, we are called to each other and these are things. And so if you're looking for purpose in your marriage today, these are simple things that you can implement to help find that purpose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, some of us in here today, we're going through a divorce. We've been through a divorce. And we have had a lot of heartache, a lot of pain. What we're giving you is not to condemn you. We're not trying to in any way condemn you and make you feel bad for the things of your past. Remember I said last week, from this point forward, we can make changes. So for your next spouse, the one that you're going to keep until death do you part, you can apply what we're teaching and you can make it work and you can make it last. You don't have to have another divorce. So take what we're teaching you, what I did last week and what we are this week, and you don't have to go through that heartache again. Because I know I've had some people come up to me and talk to me and say, you know, I really feel bad because I've been divorced. There's nothing we can do about yesterday. But we can make changes today that will affect tomorrow. So that's what this is changes that we can make to change tomorrow. Right. So take that. Take this and let's apply it. So as we talk about burdens.
We are called to carry each other's burdens.
We're called to carry each other's burdens. Robin gave me a challenge last week. You guys ever challenge your spouse? She asked me a simple little question. She said, think of a practical way. What does it mean to carry each other's burdens? What does that mean? I can either help carry her burden or I can be a burden. That makes sense? I can either help or I can hinder. I can either be heavy or I can lighten the load. And a lot of times, you know, life's extremely busy. There's just always something going on. It gets real busy. We both work. We both have lots of responsibilities because we have kids. We have a business. She works full time. I work full time. That's life.
It is. Yeah.
So it seems like so many times there's a separation there. But as she did that this week, as she gave me that challenge, I remembered that this is a union and a partnership. So we're on our way to work one day this week, and I got a text message from her. Really, you know, we talk in emojis now. Anybody do that through texting? Okay, I just wanted to make sure we were having the same language. Our whole next series that I teach will be called, it'll be EmojiCon. We'll use all emojis to do the whole message. We'll put them all on the screens and see if you get it. But she sent me a text message saying that she was really having a hard day. Because you can tell, because at the end it has the guy crying. So you can tell that she's really having a hard day. And instantly, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, how can you help her with this, Jason? Or can you text her back and say all the stuff that you're having a hard day with? Well, I've got to be in five places today, all the way from Searcy to to Cherokee Village. Or what can you do, Jason, to help? And the biggest thing that he told me is I need to give her my time. Because it seems like every day for me, every minute is scheduled. I have to be somewhere immediately, all the time. Bam, 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 bam. But where's Robin in that schedule? Where is she in that schedule when she's having a hard time? So the biggest thing he said to me is sit down with her and say, what can I do to help? And communicate and say, what can I do to help?
Yeah, and you know, sometimes that's the best thing to do. If you don't know how you can help carry your spouse's burden, just ask them, you know, what can I do to help you? I see you got a lot on your plate. Is there something I can do to help? And they'll let you know, because sometimes we feel like, I don't know what to do to help, you know? But one thing we do is we keep score. I don't know, because life is so busy. We have responsibilities and stuff, and it's so like, okay, I'm going to clean the house, and I'll help the kids with their homework. You mow the yard and take the trash out and go grocery shopping and cook. And so
you got the man stuff and the woman stuff, right? You got what the man's supposed to do and the woman's supposed to do.
And so we keep score. You do this, and I do that. And sometimes, for me, a practical way I can help carry Jason's burdens is when I see that he's had a hard week, that he has a lot on his plate, that he's got jobs he's got to go bid or material he's got to get, and he's got all this going on. I say, you know what, sweetie? As much as I hate to go to Walmart, let me do the grocery shopping for you this week.
She hates Walmart, so it's a big task.
Let me carry that burden for you. Because, you know, this is a partnership. And, you know, life does. It weighs down on us sometimes. Different things, different responsibilities. And we're meant to do this together. I want to help lift that responsibility off his shoulder. I want to make life easier for him. I want to lighten that burden. And so that's just a practical way that it could work in our marriage. But if you don't know, what can I do to help you?
Ask.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us in Galatians 6:2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. In a marriage, our marriage is to glorify God. And by glorifying God, we're going to fulfill the law of Christ. Oh. So instead of being a burden and always coming in with me and mine and throwing my weight on Robin, shouldn't I come in with open arms and open ears to help take some of that weight off of Robin?
Yeah, because sometimes we make it so much about us. Like, you know, Jason might call and say, you know, I've got to work late tonight. I'm not going to be home for dinner. And I could just make it all about me. Well, you said you would be home for dinner. What about us and the kids? You said you were going to do this. But instead, I need to have compassion and be like, I'm sorry you have to work late. What can I do to help you? You know,
most of the time, they don't really want to work 14 hours a day. You know, and in the beginning, I remember that it used to be the complete opposite. As we've grown in Christ, we've grown in all of this. But
yeah,
you know, when I call and I say I have to work late, you remember, you know, sometimes when you say, well, I need you home. We got to do this. We got to do that. Remember what they're going through, too. You know, and then with wives, when a lot of times, you know, you've had the kids all day, you know, those burdens, I mean, blessings. You know, I know when your quiver's full, it's blessings, blah, blah, blah. But you're sitting there and you're like, man, as soon as the dad comes home, you're like, take the kids. I've had enough. Just think briefly what his day was like, too. You know, I've got, you know, 6-8 guys that work for me that I'm dragging around all day. And, you know, I have my own kids I'm raising at work, you know. So, but think, none of you are here today, are you?
I was just wondering that,
oh,
too.
Sorry. Love you, brother. Oh. So we'll pray for you and your partner here in a minute, brother. But you know what I mean? Think about that. Think of your other spouse. I mean, of your other spouse. Think of your spouse. Only got one. Yeah, sorry, DJ. But think about your spouse. Think about how their day's been. Now I've got to try to reel this back in. Bear with me a minute. Hold on. I got it. Reel it back in.
Yeah.
But seriously, think about it. You have no idea what their day's been like. You have no idea what they've went through that day. And all you can think about is the burden that you're carrying. So we're called to carry each other's burdens.
Yes. The next thing we want to talk about is that I am called to assume the best. So how many of you know we're not always going to agree on everything? We're going to have differences of opinions.
First I've heard this.
Yeah. And so what do you do when you have differences of opinions, when you're not agreeing on everything? And you know, it could be little things or it could be bigger things. You know, one of the biggest things or the bigger things me and Jason have disagreements on is our kids. You know, what I might think is best for one of our children at a moment, he might not think is best at that given moment.
I want to whoop him. She wants to talk to him. You don't believe in you whooping
like
your
that.
Kids? I can tell.
But it can be frustrating when you're not seeing eye to eye, when you're having those differences of opinions. And sometimes it's like, ugh, you know? And so, were you going to say something?
Do you remember last week when I said, even when we don't see eye to eye, we walk hand in hand? Because there's something that I'll never do, and that's let go of this. And sometimes when it's harder to hold on to this, you need to take your other hand and you need to reach over there and you need to say, I love you. And right now we're not agreeing on everything, but I'm not going to let go, and I'm not going to put a wall up, and I'm not going to back down. Because we're going to walk hand in hand until we see eye to eye.
Because in the end, we both have the same goal and the same purpose in mind. We both want to raise kids that love Jesus. We both want what's best for them, even if we're not agreeing right then what we think is best. But we both want the same thing. And I just have to remember, my fight is not against him. We are on the same team. That is the truth I always come back to when we're having disagreements. Okay, Lord, we are stronger together. Our fight is not against each other. He is not the enemy. You know, the real enemy in Ephesians 6:12, it tells us who the real enemy is. You want to read it?
Sure.
Okay.
It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against her. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The enemy wants to come in and divide. He wants to destroy our homes. Our homes are under attack. Just like I said last week, the world teaches us that it's okay for man and man. It's not. God says one man, one woman. The world is trying to destroy our homes with lies. He's trying to destroy our homes with offenses. See, because like she says, we're going to have these differences of opinions. And they come in little ones at a time. They come in a little at a time until they make all of a sudden this big package that's full. And you're like, oh, I can't stand this anymore. But if we can deal with these little differences up front, it doesn't stack up to this big pile of stuff. You know, when you're with your laundry, sorry, I'm going to go ahead. If I would throw each piece of clothing in the washing machine when I was done with it, I wouldn't have a hamper full. So with all these little dirty things, if we deal with them when they come up, these little offenses. Mark 3:25 says, if a house is divided against itself, the house cannot stand. It didn't say it might not. It said it cannot stand.
And the enemy knows that. He knows if he can get us fighting against each other, that we lose focus on what our real purpose and what our real goal is, and that we're supposed to be a team. One of the ways assuming the best in my spouse works for me in a practical way, because we do have these little things that drive us crazy, whether it be a mound of laundry in the floor, a mound of dishes. You go to the sink and there's a mound of dishes in the sink and you're like, does no one in this house know how to load the dishwasher? Or
you guys heard about my magic dishwasher last week? This is her.
Or there could be tons of little things. I know there are not tons. There's just a few. Oh. Let me rephrase. A few little things that drive me crazy that Jason does. And I'm sure I have a few things that I do.
None at all.
Oh. We know that's not true. But we all have these little things. And assuming the best in my spouse means that I filter everything through. You know what? Jason loves me. He cares about me. He's not going to intentionally hurt me. You know, we're on the same team here. When he leaves his dirty clothes lying in the kitchen floor or what, the sink.
I do in the kitchen floor, don't I?
You do. Why do you do that?
Because I'm going to wear them the next day. I get up hours early before the rest of the family, so I have my clothes out there. They're not dirty. They just look dirty. I paint for a living.
But I just, everything has to go through this that, you know what? He's not intentionally hurting me. He loves me.
See, really, I'm putting the clothes there so I don't wake her up. But seriously, but think about that. In my mind, I'm doing things to prevent from waking her up. But in her mind, she's seen it as clothes in the kitchen. You see the differences in the way we think, though, in our homes? And that's the reality of it, the way that we think so differently.
So it's important to let go of these little things. You know, I don't want to fight with Jason over his clothes in the living room floor. In fact, I'm not going to do it. I have let the clothes go. They do not bother me.
Yes, that's a win for me. All right, we don't keep score.
And I know y'all are thinking, some of y'all might be thinking clothes. Yeah, that's a real big problem. But you can do it over any little thing, you know, and what's it say? Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Song of Songs says, 215 says, catch all the little foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming.
We want to catch those little things. We don't want little things to come in and ruin this love that we have, you know?
And think about in your home, do you think that, or think about if, you know, if you've been through a divorce, one day you didn't just walk in and say, I'm getting divorced, I've had enough. It was a series of little offenses and little things that stacked up. Just like I said last week, when you're splitting wood, that wedge starts out really small at the tip and sharp. But every time you hit that, it drives deeper and it gets wider until one day it completely separates that piece of wood and there's two individuals standing there. See, in our marriage, we're a union, we're a partnership. The two become one. So we should never, ever let these little things. And you know that the little clothes really drive you crazy, too. You know that the toothpaste on the sinks drives you nuts. The toothbrush that doesn't go back in the holder. It is the little things, honestly, that drive the big wedge. And it is.
They just pile up.
It piles up. But if we catch all the foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love. We have a vineyard of love. We cultivate this and it grows. This love does. Or we can let these little things kill that love. And there's no more growth in our relationship.
I like Proverbs 19:11. It says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to look over an offense. We got to learn to look over these little offenses.
It makes it so much easier when, you know, there's little things. Like I have one side of the sink, you know, with the garbage disposal. I like to put the food in. She puts the clean dishes in there. I just move them over and put the food in there anyway. Or I can constantly say something about it. You know, so. Which is going to, we have to learn to overlook.
We do, but sometimes it's hard to overlook something. You know, sometimes there's something that's really bothering me and I just can't let it go. And so I need to learn when, with the right time, how to communicate that to Jason. You know, just say, you know what? You know how you leave your tools on the cardboard?
I do.
It really drives me crazy.
It does.
I wish you wouldn't do that. You know, and just let him know. And a lot of times when I communicate it to him with the right time, when there's not a lot of tension and there's not a lot of stress, he'll be like, okay, you know, I think I'll work on that. I'll try to do that from now on, you know.
Timing is so crucial in communication. Like, say when I come home from work and I've worked 14 hours and I have to switch vehicles for the next day, so I throw my tools in the carport so I can put them in the vehicle that I'm taking tomorrow. Do you think that moment is the right time for her to go, what the heck? Tools on the carport again? Or after I've dealt with it and put him in the vehicle to say, hey, Jason, I really don't like tripping over your stuff in the morning. Timing is crucial in communication. Right. I've got a video that I want you guys to watch today. It's a little short video.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know.
Or listen to music.
Uh-oh. The music's playing in the background.
Yeah, music's playing. She wasn't singing that either. So as they get the video ready, we're going to communicate for a second.
Sometimes it feels like.
Did you guys get anything out of last week's message? Have you guys gotten anything so far that can strengthen and encourage you?
In my head.
Because when we come, like Pastor said, we come to receive, you know, and
I don't know if it's
sometimes bearing each other's burden.
No.
I don't know what happened to the video.
And now we don't know what to do because the video is not working.
Isn't it crazy when the people that are supposed to be in control lose all control? Doesn't that happen in your home sometimes? You're like, but you're supposed to know what to do here. And then they don't. And you're like, oh, no, what do I do? Because the ones that are supposed to don't. So let's, what are you going to do? Yeah, but it's halfway over now.
You always try to fix things
We're going to watch it from the end.
Here we go.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
See, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
Thank you. Ow!
Come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't...
Try to see things my way. Keep on talking till I can't go.
I like that video. How many of y'all can relate to that?
Is that the way it is in your house? There's an obvious thing, and all you want to do is tell them how to fix that obvious thing, and all they want you to do is listen. You know, that's the reality of the way communication seems to go in homes. You know, and then sometimes in a home, communication is about listening.
It is.
It is. Robin has this little thing, since she threw all my dirty laundry out there. I've got a little thing. You guys, you know, sometimes we're sitting there talking, and I'm looking at Robin, and I'm pouring it out there. She has this look on her face like she hasn't heard a word I've said. Because she has the next thing to say. Any of you like that? One of you. Yes, we have honesty in the room. This relationship's going to make it back in the bag. But, you know, sometimes communication, the biggest thing is about listening. Just listening. See, in a home, it's very important that we're allowed to vent, that we're allowed to speak freely. Because, you know, I should never go to my workplace and talk about my wife. Ever. I should not vent to my friends about my wife. Ever. I should only vent, especially not to my in-laws. She should never vent to my in-laws about me. She shouldn't.
I told first service, I remember when me and Jason first got married, Mom told me, if you and Jason ever get in fight, I don't want to know about it. Don't tell me about it. Because you know what? You will forgive them. And I won't.
That explains why my mother-in-law looked at me cross-eyed for like 10 years.
And so I, you know.
But that's the truth, you know. There has to be an open line of communication. And another thing in our relationships, in our marriage, men, we have certain tones that we use with our voice. Are you aware of that? That it might not necessarily be what we say, but it's how we say it. I get in more trouble for how I say something than I ever do for what I say. Amen. Always, I do. And we've got to learn to control that tone. You know, I'm not talking to my kid and trying to correct my kid. I'm talking to my spouse. So I need to change the tone.
So we have this thing we do. I'm going to tell our thing we do.
You're gonna let them, they can use it?
Yes.
Okay, you guys can use
it. It works for us. So maybe it'll work for you. And so we go to each other, whether it's him or me, and I have something I need to talk about. And I say, okay, Jason, I've got some stuff I need to work out, some stuff I'm trying to figure out. I want to talk to you about it. But you know what? I don't want any feedback. I don't want you to say anything. Just let me, just listen. And so he knows. I mean, and literally that's how I start the conversation, or he'll start the conversation if it's vice versa. And so that's my cue. Okay. If he comes to me and says that, I'm supposed to bite my tongue and just smile and say, yep. And as much as I want to fix, I mean, I think us as women want to be fixers too. You know, when there's a problem, when there's a nail.
Is there?
Oh. I want to fix it. I want to take it out. But sometimes that's not what you need. You just need me to listen and let you figure it out.
Sometimes we just need to vent.
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes after we do that, you know, Robin will say something. I'm sitting there biting my tongue, and I don't bite my tongue real well, so it might be bleeding a little bit by the time I hold it down. And then I'll say, are you sure there's nothing I can say? I've got something. And she'll say, no, I just needed to talk. And, okay.
And then maybe later, like, you know, a day or three, I'll be like, well, now, do you have something, you know, when I'm ready to receive it.
And I won't even know what she said 3 days later, but
won't even remember it. In our homes, we need to guard our mouths because the power of death and life is in our tongue. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. There's power in our mouth. In our homes, we speak death or life. What are we speaking in our homes? Are we always going around talking bad about our ex or talking bad about our spouse? Are we always, when the kids are there, your mom does it like that. Your dad does it like this. You're acting just like your daddy. You're acting just like your mama. What do you mean? You don't love the way that... Is that good or bad?
Yeah.
What are we speaking in our homes?
We're supposed to build each other up. You know, we're hard enough on ourselves. You know, when I fall short or when I miss God's voice or... when I mess up, he's going to let me know, and I'm going to be harder on myself than anybody else could be hard on me. I don't need Jason telling me, I can't believe you did that, or, you know, you just fall so short. We need to build each other up. We need to encourage each other's strengths, you know, like.
Robin is the CEO of my business. She is the chief encouraging officer is what she is. When you preach and when you speak from a stage, on an average, 1 out of 5 times you're comfortable with your message. And that's the truth. 1 out of 5 times you're comfortable with it. So people are like, doesn't Robin just tell you when it was horrible, when it was the worst thing ever? And I'm like, no, she doesn't. She says, great job. I love you. That was wonderful. Because like she said, I beat myself up enough. The last thing I need is my wife to say, that sucked. That was, I can't believe you said that. Can't believe you said honka honka last week. I did get one message that said that did not work. That was the what you're not supposed to do. People's. But she is. She encourages me in times when I can't encourage myself. The times when I'm beating myself up the worst, Robin comes through as my partner, and she encourages me and lifts me up.
Yeah. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
When we speak in our homes, are we saying things that benefit our spouse according to their needs? Are we building them up? Are we edifying and encouraging? What are we doing? Communication is such a, how we communicate, what's communicated, such a key thing in a relationship.
Yep, encouraging each other.
Yes.
So the next thing we wanted to talk about is that I'm called to live content. Sometimes I can be my own worst enemy. There was a time a while back where I was pretty miserable in life, and I feel like I made my husband pretty miserable and my family pretty miserable, because instead of focusing on all the good things I had in my life, I was focusing on what I didn't have, on the things my husband was doing wrong, on the things he wasn't doing at all, just all the negative.
Do you remember last week I talked about the 80-20? I talked about in Robin, all more, you know, the best that she's going to meet is 80% of my needs. In a relationship, your spouse, the best you're going to get is 80%. So we have a tendency to see the 20% that they're not meeting. And that's what Robin was doing at this point, was she was seeing the 20% that I wasn't satisfying, the 20% that I wasn't meeting.
And it's such a small portion. I mean, 20%, 80%, and all I could zone in on was the 20%. And so something I did that completely transformed my life and changed my life was I made a list. I got a pencil and paper, and I literally wrote down every good thing in my life and the good things about my husband. You know what? Jesus, Jason loves Jesus. He wants to work on our marriage. He wants to spend time with our kids. He goes to work and provides for us. He comes home and he cooks for us. I mean, the list can go on and on of all the good things that I had in my life. And it can just start with one thing a day. And you'll start seeing another thing and then another thing. So it's just choosing to focus in on what you do have, being content, being thankful for where you're at.
So I'm so thankful that she recognized what was happening. She recognized that the enemy was coming in and taking her focus off of the good things and on the bad. And I'm so thankful that she saw that, because otherwise, here comes those little things. Each one of those little things adds up until it's all of a sudden, I can't do this anymore because I'm sick and tired of all the things that you're not doing. Instead, the changes began she began to make the change. See, in this, you have to make a choice. Are you going to be the one that takes the first step towards the changes? Because somebody has to. Somebody has to say, you know what? There's things I need to change about myself and let God change about me, instead of looking over here and saying, I'm waiting on you to do it. When it was time for us to get right with God and get sober, I tried to say that in our relationship. I tried to say, Robin, if you'll get help, then I'll get help. And it didn't work like that. I had to be the one to take the first step and get help. I had to be the first one to... And praise God that she saw this, but anyway.
Yeah, and just by making that one change in my life, something I did, it made this so much better, you know? So,
because as men, a lot of times, we don't see, and we're not quite as aware as, you know what I'm saying? We're just like, yeah, it'd be okay, whatever. I'll, you know, we just kind of go on about our business, yeah. You know, but... I'm thankful that she did. I didn't have to make a list for her because I like everything. There was no need in a list.
Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We're supposed to think about the lovely things, the admirable things. I love the Message version. It says, think about the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly. I mean, we've got to learn. We've got to open our eyes to start to see the best, to see the beautiful.
Focusing on the good things brings joy and peace to your home. When you focus on the negative, it brings dissension and discord and division in your home is what it does.
It does. Has women... I don't know if it's necessarily fair or not, but we're the thermostats in our home. We are called to set the mood in our home, to provide peace and joy in our home. And by focusing on the good, I was able to receive joy and receive peace and then be able to share that with my family and be able to provide a home that was full of joy and full of peace. And, I know it's not fair because sometimes I just want to have a bad day and I want to be in a bad mood without it affecting anybody else. But I got to be aware that my mood and my attitude does affect Jason and does affect my children.
It does for the man too. We don't necessarily control as much of the temperament in the home as the wife does like that. But our mood affects everything. So we need to focus on the good things.
Yeah.
Whatever is noble, whatever is true, you know, absolutely.
Living content.
Live in contentment. Focus on the 80% that is good, the 80% that's being met instead of the 20 that's not. Which brings us to our last point today. The last thing we want to talk about, I'm called to do it anyway. I'm called to do it anyway. See, no matter what we're called to do, we're going to run into feelings and emotions that try to detour us from that, that tell us that our ability isn't quite there to do this. But you know what? In my marriage, I'm called to do it anyway.
Even when I don't feel like it, I'm called to encourage him.
Absolutely.
I'm called to forgive.
Sometimes when everything else fails, we need to remind ourselves that we're called to do it anyway. There's going to be times when I do not feel like giving Robin my time and attention because there's tension. So I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to be around her. I don't want to be in the same room. And that happens. I'm called to be around her anyway. I'm called to pour into her anyway. I'm called to love her anyway. What about when you feel like you're just roommates? You ever have that feeling? We're just kind of in the same house together, but you're sleeping in separate rooms. You're just basically splitting the bills. Do you have your half of the house payment? And I know couples that do this, that have their own separate accounts that, you know, do you have your half the electric bill? That is not union. That is roommates. First of all, you need to correct that and come together as one and understand that things need to be done together and it's not splitting the bills. If I wanted a roommate, I'd get DJ, not this pretty lady, because I know what happens when I have a pretty lady for a roommate. That was funny. I'm called to love her anyway. When we feel like we're just roommates, I'm called to love her anyway. What about when we feel like they're just not giving us what we want? What's the first thing that stops in your home when you're mad at your spouse? The intimacy. That's the first thing that stops, isn't it? And they're not giving us what we want. So instead of breaking through that wall and doing our part to make this right and apologizing, somebody's got to take the first step in this. And doing my part and saying, Robin, I apologize. You know, I was wrong. I should have not left all my tools in the carport. I shouldn't have, you know what I'm saying? Maybe I'll learn to start doing my part. Instead of doing that, we drive this wedge. And in my marriage, the only time that we're supposed to not, she is mine and I'm hers, is the fizzle. Remember the sizzle? The only time we're not supposed to is when we are separated for fasting and praying. And most of you in here probably don't fast and pray and separate from your spouse, like for that reason. The reason there's no intimacy is because there's tension and discord. And that just drives a wedge. There has to be, do it anyway.
Right.
I love you. I'm yours and you are mine. Right. And I love you.
Yep.
And I want to.
When the thought of talking to him or her is exhausting, we do it anyway. When we're just so tired and we just don't want to talk anymore, we've had a long day, we do it anyway. When it feels like I can't do anything right, I just can't get it right, I do it anyway.
Do it anyway.
Yep.
Love your spouse anyway. You have to fight for this marriage. There's days when, well, no, you're always attractive to me, so I'll skip that one. What about when you decide to do it just for the kids? I come from a home where my mom and dad stayed together just for the kids. They had set this thing to where by seventh grade, when I was in seventh grade, if certain changes hadn't happened, they were going to get divorced. So when I started seventh grade, the certain things hadn't happened, so they got divorced. First thing that happens to happen in my house is me and Christ, and the second relationship is this one. We don't stay together for the kids. We stay together because we love each other. We stay together because we're going to do it anyway, because until death do us part. There's going to be days when she wants to choke the life out of me.
Only a few days.
Oh, I was just curious if there really was. But you know what? We're going to get past that. We're going to do it anyway.
We are. Or what about when you're not sure if you can just trust them anymore? You know, they've broken all trust and you're just not sure that you can ever trust them again. In your heart, you do it anyway.
You forgive and you set new boundaries. And you do it anyway. What about when there's a secret? You see, because you've got a secret in your home, you're just not comfortable being intimate with your spouse anymore because you're on the computer and you're doing things you're not supposed to be. You're looking at things you're not supposed to. So you've disconnected because you're ashamed. Because the shame is so bad that you can't look your spouse in the eye anymore. First thing you have to do is stop doing the things you're doing. You have to go to your spouse and confess. Your spouse has to forgive you. You have to set boundaries. And you push through it and you do it anyway.
Lots of grace in marriage.
Lots of grace. So as we're getting ready to close today.
And all those situations are hard and hurtful. And it might seem like it's impossible.
But I can tell you what Philippians 4:13 tells us. 90% of you know this verse because you've used it for everything in your life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Two different translations. So in your marriage, through Christ, you can do this. Because he'll give you the strength. He'll give you the grace. He'll have the mercy. He's had it in your life. Maybe you need to have it in this relationship. So as we get ready to close today, these situations can be harmful. They can be devastating to a relationship. Absolutely devastating. Can we get our prayer team, please?
No matter what the circumstance is, no matter where you're at, God wants to come in.
He wants to come in and he wants to reconcile relationship. He wants to come in and he wants you today to be the first one to take the step. He wants you today to be the one to step up and to step out and to come forward today for prayer and to say, you know what? God, today you spoke to me. There's some changes that you want to make in me today, God, so that this can work. Whether you're young, not married yet, maybe God spoke to you today and you need to come in agreement with somebody that you're going to be the person who stands upright and says, you know what? I'm going to fight for what's right. Because the enemy is trying to destroy homes every way that he can. These people up here today can pray with you. Joe and Miranda as a couple come up and pray with them. Any one of these people can pray for you. But you know, today it has to start with you. It has to start with a relationship with Jesus Christ also. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, he can't begin to do that work inside of you. So today, maybe you need to come forward and you need to say, you know what? I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Because this relationship right here isn't working because this one isn't working. So until you get this one right with God through his son Christ, the one that's by you or the one that you long for will never work until you have that right first. Let's get to our feet this morning as we get ready to worship. I want to pray over you today, okay? Remember, there's nothing you can do about yesterday, But today you can make a change that will affect eternity. It'll affect from here on out your future. Because your future is what's important to me. I don't care about your past. I care about your future. So today you can make a change that can affect your future. I want to pray. Father God, we love you. Father, we thank you today for your word. Your word that is true. For your word that went forth today, Lord God. Let it pierce the hearts of those that have heard it. Lord God, you said that it won't return void. It'll accomplish the purpose for which you send it. Lord, today, if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, I pray today, Lord God, that they come to know you. These people are here and ready to pray. Father God, I just ask you to draw them. Draw them with your love, with your mercy, with your grace, with your goodness. Lord God, draw them today. And Lord, we love you and praise you. Would you come today? Today, if you need prayer in your relationship for anything, they're here to pray with you. Today, if you need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're here to pray with you. Don't walk out of the building without letting God do a work in you today. Would you come?